From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Thinking of firing that free hit? We look at the top choices for your chip. All that plus a double game week preview in this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello everyone, welcome back to the podcast. We're recording this on Thursday morning, so ahead of the final match of Double Game Week 26, Arsenal versus Wolves, just to ensure we get to you as soon as possible ahead of this week's early Friday deadline. There is your first warning. And joining me, Kelly Summers, this week, it's a welcome back to broadcaster Ian Irving.
Hello, Kelly.
Hello. It's also a big hello to the analyst, Duncan Alexander.
Hello, Kelly.
Hello, and Sam Bonfield of FPL Family joins us, our resident Spurs fanatic, who's had, Sam, a bit of a mixed week.
Oh, Kelly, don't start. What are they like, honestly? How can you beat Manchester City one day and then 4 days later go up to Burnley and lose? My goodness, what do Spurs do to me, eh?
I tell you what, we'll gloss over that for now, shall we? Instead, let's reflect on some of the big FPL headlines from Game Week 26. And there really is only one place to start. Over 1 million managers used the triple captain chip on Mo Salah, a new FPL record. And three of those were our panel. 84 points for those who did activate their chip. We couldn't have asked for much more, could we, Ian?
Not at all. What a glorious sight on Thursday morning to log into the FPL website and see Mo Salah sat there with 84 points. Which is more than most weeks these days, to be honest, that my entire team gets. But yeah, it was an obvious choice considering how the fixtures fell. I don't think you could ask for much more sort of back-to-back favourable fixtures in that sense. But for him to deliver, for him to dispatch a couple of penalties last night, I was extremely nervous watching him step up, thinking if he scores, that's three penalties scored. And if he misses, that's three penalties missed. But yeah, 84 points. He's the man in FPL this season. We knew that already. That's why we triple captained him. And Mo delivered once more. Fantastic.
Yeah, you got 138 points in total. That is huge, isn't it?
It could have been better, to be honest.
Don't be greedy, Ian.
I know that's been a little picky, maybe, to be honest. But yeah, sort of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson as a double up in defence being rested for that first game was a little bit of a blow. I think the star of my game week has to be Odson Edouard, who in a double game week was left out of both games, but managed to come on for 1 minute at the end of the second match, which was brilliant. So thank you for that, Odson. If Martinelli does anything tonight against Wolves, I'll be even doubly annoyed because he'd already stuffed up my double game week plans by getting sent off. And now Odson has blocked any return from him in this second game against Martinelli on my bench as well. So yeah, it could have been better, but I'm not complaining. 138 points with Ramsdale still to play is okay. I'm happy with that.
There was me thinking saying 138 was a positive thing and you've somehow found the negatives. Maybe that just shows what a high scoring game week it's been. A big week as well for Burnley. Wout Weghorst grabbed 14 points as they won both games with clean sheets. Duncan, a masterstroke from you, bringing in the front man, helping you to your total of an even bigger 141 points as it stands.
Yeah, I brought him in almost immediately because the idea of a 6'6" man slash giant playing for Burnley was so exciting to me that I couldn't resist. And obviously he got that assist down Brighton. And then, as you say, he's had a good double game. And I think not only is he a really good player and a goal threat, but he's kind of transformed the way Burnley can play as well. So I think he's a good catalyst for the rest of their season. And as we know, they've got a lot of fixtures to make up. And they're looking pretty good. So yeah, I'm delighted.
Okay, well, I'm not here to highlight decisions maybe you wish you hadn't made, but I'm kind of going to actually. Would you reorder your bench, Duncan, if you could?
Yeah, slightly annoying. That I've got Kulusevski on the bench with 13 points, which is not ideal. But I've still got Saka and Ben White to come this evening, and I'm on 141. So if I get over 150, I'd be happy with that, I think.
Sam, I've got to ask you, though, for a word on Spurs, because this morning I really thought I was going to be saying to you about a brilliant double game week for Son and Kane, but they actually got the points in the games they shouldn't have in the wake of that defeat at Burnley. How are you feeling about Spurs, mainly as an FPL asset, not just as a fan?
Oh, I mean, it's just such a Spurs thing to do, isn't it? I think from my perspective, you know, when you look at the underlying stats, part of the reason that I went with Son this week was because his record against Manchester City and Burnley is so good. Now, obviously, he did perform really well against Manchester City and in very much what I would have what I was hoping Spurs would do. I was expecting them to play well against Man City because of the way that Man City press high up the field. There should have been space for Son in behind. What we saw with Burnley is that they didn't give us any space. They didn't allow us to get in behind, and they scored a good goal, a good team goal, you know, with Ben Mee up there again. Like, he is constantly returning points right now, and going into game week 27's double, he looks like an absolute gift to FPL managers. But yeah, I think it was a disappointing result, but it's not something that I would panic about. Spurs sit top of the season ticker if you run it all the way till the end of the season. They've got really nice fixtures to come over the next few weeks. And let's be honest, they're going to have to start performing in these games if they want to get anything out of the season. So I don't feel too bad about owning a Spurs player from an FPL perspective right now.
Okay, so good news. No need to panic when it comes to Spurs at the moment then. An update on our FPL mini league for you then. Of course, it could still change after tonight's game. Our best performance in the top 10 so far is AJX1, who scored a massive 152 points to move into the top 10. But of course, it's still Money Mace, 4 points clear at the top. A reminder, if you do want to join in, the league code is 1KIKS7. So that is double game week 26 covered off, but the next few weeks are looking slightly hectic for us FPL managers, with blanks and doubles aplenty. So next, we'll try to help you form a plan of attack. Well, we've just gone over one mammoth double game week, but here's how the next few weeks are looking for us FPL managers. Game week 27 sees Liverpool, Arsenal and Chelsea all blanking, whilst Burnley will play twice. But then game weeks 28 and 29 will see six teams doubling in both. However, then we do have to be wary. The game week 30 is likely to be reduced, as it will be played on an FA Cup weekend. So Sam, FPL give us chips for a reason. Is now a good time that we should plan on using them?
Depends really on how many chips that you have left. If you are in the lucky position, like a couple of the panel this week, to have both of your free hit chips remaining, then game week 27 is the perfect moment to play the first one of those. It gets you into a position where you can really target the game week, and you can bring in the best players from each of the teams that they have available without worrying about having to bench the budget of, you know, Salah and Trent. You can invest that fully and go all in on the likes of Manchester City, for example. Later on in the season then, as you mentioned, we should have another opportunity to use that in game week 30. Obviously, that's going to depend what happens in the fifth round of the FA Cup next week as to which teams don't play in game week 30. But it does look incredibly likely you're going to want a free hit chip at that moment as well, to make sure that you have a full 11 out. And then with wild cards, and if you still have your triple captain, if you haven't played it on Salah this time around, then it's just looking at when's the best moment for your team. And it's very much going to depend on who you've bought in. My team personally, I don't think needs a wild card right now. So I'll probably wait until we get out of game week 30 till we see who makes it into the next round of the FA Cup, and then play my wild card for those last sort of 8 game weeks of the season.
So Sam, you're saying at the moment you're not going to free hit. You think your team is in a good enough position?
Yes. And also, I've used one of my free hit chips already back in game week 20. So I need to have that one available to me in game week 30. And I also have 12 players playing this weekend, so I don't really need a free hit.
Well, at the time of recording, there are around 125,000 free hits active. We expect that to go up before the deadline. Ian, could we add your name to that list very soon? I believe you're tempted.
Yes, I think you can have a name to that list very soon. I think it'll skyrocket that number. I imagine people are of a mind like myself where I want to wait for everyone to have played before I decide definitely to do it, in case there's anything catastrophic which changes things. There were so many midweek matches this week in the Premier League and in Europe, I wanted to wait until the very end. It's just a really good opportunity. And if you've got two free hits left, like Sam was saying a moment ago, if you don't use them this week, I'm not sure exactly when the optimum time would be to use them. We've talked about in the past game week 30 maybe being an optimum time, but depending on how the FA Cup goes, there might not be that many teams playing in that game week. And obviously the way the fixtures are rescheduled as well. So I don't know how much sort of upside there would be to using it then. Whereas now my team has, you know, 3 Liverpool in it, has 2 Arsenal in it. I haven't got any Chelsea, to be fair, but how much budget is tied up in Robertson, Alexander-Arnold and Salah, just those three really, means that, you know, using the free hit frees up a lot of cash that I can splash this week. And I just think there's some really interesting options and to have a bit of fun with it really as well. I think it's actually, I know we're coming off a huge triple captain haul, but other than wildcard, I think free hit is the most powerful chip. We've got one extra this week, so we can have a little bit of fun. And I've just got really bad memories of using it in normal game weeks as well. I think the first year scarred me 17-18. I used it in a week trying to be clever, where I'd already brought in Philippe Coutinho in an early transfer. Jurgen Klopp ruled him out of their match at the weekend against Huddersfield. I still remember the details. And Harry Kane then got ruled out by Mauricio Pochettino for a trip to Old Trafford. He was already in my team, and I thought, right, I'm doing it. I'm going to undo my bad transfer of bringing Coutinho in, who's now injured, and I'm going to go for it. And I remember one of the players I really targeted was Alexander Lacazette, who I think was at home to Swansea or someone like that. And he blanked, and it was a disaster. And basically, my free hit team was outscored by my original side, even with the hit I'd taken to bring in Philippe Coutinho. And then the final day a couple of years ago as well, remember free hitting on the final day, bringing in David Silva on his final appearance at Manchester City. One of the players I'd taken out was Kevin De Bruyne, and I think he scored twice and got an assist, and I don't think David Silva did anything. So, yeah, I need to use it this week, if nothing else, to put my mind at rest and just to feel better about life.
I've never seen such vivid recall of terrible FPL. It must have really scarred.
Yeah. I remember the bad bits more than the good bits. Triple captain either just happened and I don't remember it, or it was on Andy Carroll. So I'm hoping that Mohamed Salah's performance this week...
They're the two options, definitely. Yeah.
I'm hoping Mohamed Salah's performance this week can make me forget the ghosts of the past and focus on a really successful triple captainship.
The FPL podcast, otherwise known as FPL therapy for Ian Irving there. I hope getting that off your chest has made you feel a lot better.
I
hope this week, if you do play your free hit, it does go a bit better than that, because otherwise you'll be recalling them the next time you're on the podcast.
It is a risk to play free hit when you've got players who are already playing. If I play free hit this week, there's a few players I'll be taking out who can come back to bite you.
You can keep those players.
Well, no, but they're not optimum players for this week, Duncan, are they? That's the thing. Oh, okay, so I've got Phil Foden in my team now. Is he definitely making free hit? Or are you going for Riyad Mahrez? Are you going for Raheem Sterling? Are you going for Kevin De Bruyne even? Not to mention players who don't play for Manchester City.
I tell you what, we actually set you guys an exercise, didn't we, in the build-up to this podcast. We did ask you to put together a free hit team. So let's have some of the debates around players that may or may not make it into your sides, because there's a lot of interesting talking points. As Duncan said there, you don't have to get rid of certain players from your team. Phil Foden, I'm sure, will come up. Let's start in goal, because the free hit goalkeeper that you all selected was, and this wasn't too big a surprise for me, Nick Pope. Duncan, is that just an obvious one? Burnley have got the form and they've got the double.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to play two games. He's in good form. Burnley looking good, as we said, within the new Weghorst era. I think it's a bit of a no-brainer. He's obviously, last season, he was one of the key keepers, really. Probably less so this season, given Burnley's form. But yeah, for me, I'm not doing free hit, because like Sam, I used mine a few weeks ago, the first one. So I'm going to save the other one for game week 30. But if I was, then definitely Pope would be coming in.
Okay, so Nick Pope, 4 clean sheets in 6 games for Burnley. Sam, not too surprising then to see a Burnley defender in your side as well.
Yeah, I've got James Tarkowski in the draft I sent you, but actually I was super impressed by Ben Mee again last night. So I think it's quite a tough call between those two, and I don't think that there's necessarily a right or wrong answer, but what I do think is the right decision if you are free hitting is to double up on the Burnley defence. With Cornet not playing against Spurs, that slightly restricts your ability to play the attacking double up for Burnley, but you can definitely go with the defence. And actually, in the last 2 double game weeks, they've been phenomenal defensively. You know, they've kept clean sheets in all 4 of those games. So going for the double up, yeah, 100%, that's what I'd be doing if I was free hitting this week.
Yeah, Ian's also got Ben Mee in there as well. So you both agree on that one. Something all 3 of you agree on is keeping Joao Cancelo into your team, I imagine, as well. Ian, easy decision?
Yeah, no brainer. He's one of the ones who is in my team and will be staying in my free hit team. I just don't think you complicate that. How he didn't haul against Spurs last time out, I have absolutely no idea. I worked that game pitch side and sat with my mouth open watching his shots narrowly fly over the bar or wide of the post. He looked so threatening in that game. He could have scored at least 2 in that first half. He was that good and that far forward and that involved in an attacking sense. Don't complicate that. Don't look at anyone else. Just pick Joao Cancelo. Don't worry about anyone else in that position. In terms of Burnley, I have put Ben Mee in. And I was ready to come on this morning and sort of say, we could pick someone else. And then I watched last night and all the set pieces are aimed at Ben Mee's head. And he just looks so threatening. So it's difficult now to make a case, but if I did have to make a case, he scored 3 goals this season now, Ben Mee. That's his most in a Premier League campaign. So he's already maxed out maybe in that sense. Whereas Tarkowski, that Sam just mentioned, he's only got one goal this season and he scored two goals last year and three the season before. So maybe there's something coming from him. Also, Connor Roberts as well, who's slightly cheaper, playing at right back. He started the last six matches in a row now and got one assist and four clean sheets. So if you need to sort of save just a few pennies here and there, he could be an option as well.
Yeah, Ben Mee priced at 4.6 million, his first double-digit haul of the season with 15 points against Spurs last night. Ian, I'm going to counter you saying that he's already scored as many goals. Burnley are only coming good now, aren't they?
Mm.
So surely the best is still yet to come.
Also, if you think about it, opposition defences are now so terrified of Weghorst, I think they're probably going to leave Mee and Tarkowski a bit freer. So I think it's that kind of catalyst effect of the big man up front. It's kind of freed up some of the defenders to maybe get some more set-piece shots in. So, yeah, I mean, it is pretty exciting, actually. I mean, who thought we'd be sat here saying we're all super excited about Burnley's running? But we are, so.
You know, Ben Mee got 21 points this game week. He'd only got 50 points in the season up to this game week. So he actually nearly got half his points for the season in just the last two matches. Amazing.
Elsewhere, Ian and Duncan, you've both gone for Tino Livramento. That feels like a bit of a, I want to say blast from the past, but it was only a few months ago where he was lighting up our teams. Are you confident he's back fit now, Duncan, he's going to get back to his best?
I wouldn't say I'm super confident, but he remains a value choice with the pedigree and potential to haul points. And I think, you know, the fixture isn't particularly difficult for them. I wouldn't say I'm super confident, but he's a good option and he kind of obviously frees up money elsewhere.
Sam, you've picked Eric Dyer. Did you pick this team before last night or was this done at the weekend and are you still sticking with him?
Yeah, I absolutely did do this before the Spurs-Burnley game. However, I still stand by the decision to have him in there because for me, if you're going to free hit, you need to have a 15 and it needs to be a squad that covers you for any rotational problems that may come about. As a result of, you know, you going for this team, the last thing you want is to have a free hit team that then means you have nobody to come off your bench. So I'd play a back three in this game and I'd have Livramento, I'd have Cancelo and I'd have Tarkowski or me, depending upon which Burnley asset I went for. But Eric Dyer would then be my benchable defender who I'd be happy to come on and play in this game. You know, Leeds have looked very poor going forward. So I think for me, Eric Dyer still stands as being a decent pick at his price point.
Okay, into midfield, and there is one name that is in all of your teams, Bruno Fernandes. I'm glad this has come up, Ian, because I was kind. I didn't mention this at the top of the podcast. I said how well your team had done. You actually took Bruno out this week,
yes,
didn't you? Coming into double game week 26. You've obviously learnt the error of your ways and you're bringing him back in potentially if you do free hit.
For 1 week only, absolutely. I wildcarded in 24, so the plan always was to get Son and Salah this week for the double game week, and I ended up boxing myself in, so I literally couldn't not get rid of Bruno Fernandes for this week. I felt like Leeds away was a good game for him, and obviously it proved to be that way. But yeah, absolutely, he's coming back in. There is an option, though, of going with Jadon Sancho. And another reason why I delayed sort of activating free hit was the ability to be able to watch how players do and how many minutes they get as well. And it's not just if things go wrong, but it's also if things go right for the players. I interviewed Jadon Sancho on Monday as well. So bringing emotion into it, he seemed a really nice lad. So you sort of want to give him a chance in your free hit.
He's going to do it for you.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
So did he look you in the eye and promise?
He winked at me, yeah. There's a little bit of emotion I find with free hit as well, because you sort of like bringing in players that you sort of expect to do well. But I also like to just give a chance to a few people as well. You know, a few of the players that you like or you sort of see something in. And Jadon Sancho's form has improved recently as well. He wasn't great last night, in fairness, in the Champions League for Manchester United, but not many of the attackers were. Bruno, in the end, got an assist for Antony Elanga, but, you know, over the 90 minutes, didn't really perform. So Bruno Fernandes is in my free hit squad, but it's quite a saving to go down to Sancho. Sancho's only 8.9. He obviously started his career in the academy at Watford as well, which is one of the things we talked about on Monday. And he just seemed really happy and settled at United now. And he felt like he had a platform to perform. So the more he spoke in that interview, the more I was sort of thinking, well, I might give you a chance in my free hit, mate.
Okay, Manchester City midfielder next. Do we need to have one, Sam? Should we maybe be looking at the double up? I notice you've put Raheem Sterling in.
Yeah, you definitely need to have one if you're free hitting. You probably want to think about two. But I spent a long time on this Manchester City midfield conundrum. They've obviously got four games in 10 days from Sunday. There's the FA Cup fixture, there's a Champions League fixture, there's two Premier League fixtures for them in that period of time. And we do know that Pep loves to have a little bit of a tinker with his team around these competitions. So it's trying to work out who is the safest in terms of rotation and who is guaranteed to start. Because if you're free hitting a player in at that price point, you want them to be sure of a start. Now, for me, it doesn't look like Jack Grealish is going to be fit and available. That makes Raheem Sterling the prime position that I would want to own, because there's very little potential rotation for him on that side of the pitch. So Raheem Sterling feels the most safe, and therefore he's the one I would free hit in. There are other options available in that bracket as well that you could go to alongside him. You know, Mahrez looks like a decent option as well. You could go with Foden, but there's always a little bit of an element of risk with those guys. They will probably get some minutes, but will they get 90 minutes? I'm not sure.
We had Mahrez as a number one City choice for me. I want Raheem Sterling as well. Looking at the free hit, sort of came down to a choice of pairing Sterling and Sancho or Bruno and Foden and making a decision between that. But one that didn't have a decision to make in my head was Riyad Mahrez. 8.7, he's only 4.2% owned overall, which I'm sure will be higher on this free hit. He's on pens. He scored 6 goals and 3 assists in his last 7 Premier League games. He's had 19 shots and 15 chances created during that time. City are on a roll, aren't they? Apart from, of course, that result against Spurs, which they'll now be looking to bounce back from, I'm sure. Everton have conceded 46 shots in the last 3 Premier League matches. And if you need any more convincing at this point, I can tell you that also Riyad Mahrez has scored in wins at Goodison Park in the last 2 seasons.
Sounds like he needs a rest.
He was on the
That's
bench.
That's what people think too, Duncan.
He was on the bench against Spurs. He's had his rest.
It is unusual, isn't it? Because I think a few weeks ago, we'd have imagined City maybe rotating more than they do already in this sort of period in the Premier League. But obviously, their massive win in the Champions League kind of makes that second leg a foregone conclusion. And Liverpool now breathing down their necks in the league. So I think Pep's going to go stronger in the Premier League than he would in the Champions League, at least.
He should be able to rest them in the FA Cup as well, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality.
True, true. But also, City's squad's quite unusual in the sense that they've got a small squad, but everyone's good. So the resting player, it's not like they've got an obvious, you know, second team, second string. So, you know, you see players like Sterling who've gone from the second choice to now being probably the first choice. It's still hard to get a grasp on, I think.
So Ian, is there anyone else that you're free hitting out that you haven't mentioned yet?
I'm going to be free hitting out Jarrod Bowen. And that just seems crazy.
Jarrod Bowen, that could hurt you.
Yeah, that's it. A third of teams own him, don't they? So it's a massive risk that's involved as well. He's only blanked once in his last 6 home games and he scored 50 points during that time. And I'm going to go see you, mate, and bring in people who...
Don't need you. Got Jadon Sancho on line 3. So.
You know that free hitting is supposed to be fun, don't you, Ian? It's not supposed to cause you this much stress.
No, but you have to think about the players that you're taking out. So often you get seduced by all the lovely players that you can bring in. And sometimes you can forget about the ones that you've already got and the damage that they can do. But considering the midfield is going to be something like Fernandes, Foden, Mahrez and Son, I'm not sure there's room for Jarrod, unfortunately.
Let's talk about some differentials in that midfield then, because Sam, I like your pick of James Ward-Prowse.
Oh, I see. I really think that this might be the time that James Ward-Prowse comes good for FPL managers. He's always been a talented player. He's on set pieces. He's got all of the threat going for him. He's playing in a Southampton team that are finding form. He's the captain. I really like him, but he's a player that never really comes into my FPL thinking, because there's always players like Jarrod Bowen, for example, who've hit this lovely purple patch and we want to invest in, or my Spurs loyalty's come out and I feel like I have to own Son. You know, then there's Salah. This is a perfect opportunity, I think. And for me, this is key. And it sort of goes back to what Ian was saying a minute ago, in that you need to, when you're free hitting, you can't just go with the standard free hit team, because you do want to make it a little bit different. You want to give your free hit team a little bit of cutting edge over all of the other free hit teams. And for me, James Ward-Prowse could be the player that does that. He's playing against Norwich, who have got one of the worst defensive records in the Premier League. He's on, like I've mentioned before, set pieces. So, you know, his free kicks are a bit of the stuff of legend at times when he's on form. And Friday night, I think he could get everybody that Free Hits Games off to a fantastic start. He'd be the one. And actually, he was one of the first players that I put in my free hit draft when I put this one together.
Duncan, what about you? Any left field names to throw into the mix?
I think Anthony Elanga at United is a good shout. He's got 9 points in his last two outings. Obviously scored the goal in the Champions League and got some pretty unusual praise from Ralph Rangnick after the game, where Rangnick sort of praised his attitude and said that the other players in the team could possibly learn from that. Not sure who he was hinting at. But I think, you know, he's a player that's clearly plays well in the Rangnick system. I think him and Jadon Sancho are both probably the two players that have benefited most from Rangnick coming in. And yeah, he's only owned by 0.4% of people at the moment, and he's 4.8 million. So he really, you know, is a pretty good shout, I'd say.
Like Sam was saying before as well, it depends on your attitude to your bench. You know, if he was your fifth midfielder and you had him as first sub coming on, I don't think that's a bad option considering he's 4.8 million. I tend to go the other way to Sam. I tend to have it as cheap as I possibly can and just hope that the players I've picked are as nailed as possible. And there's people like Daniel Amati, who I think is 3.8 million. My third sub will definitely be Kostas Tsimikas because he's only 3.7. So having someone decent to come on in that first sub position, like Elanga, who's not expensive. I think the cheapest midfielders are about 4.3, so it's only 0.5 higher than that. And he's likely to start. And the one thing about Elanga is he's played in 11 straight matches now, whether he started or come off the bench. So he's likely to get minutes either way.
Let's move to the forwards now. And the reason I've not left quite as long for us to discuss these is because all three of you have picked the same three players, Harry Kane, Wout Weghorst and Armando Broja. Is it as simple as that, Sam? Just go with those three players on a free hit?
Yes, this is a position that we definitely shouldn't overthink. We've obviously got Weghorst, who's been in great form and is doubling this time around. We've got Kane, who, well, he's a bit up and down, but fundamentally he is, if you're going to have a premium player in that position, he's the one that you would want to go to. And then, of course, there's Broja, who's playing against Norwich and has had a phenomenal season. And he is such a brilliant budget enabler. So we've been talking about how we want to fill our midfields with all of these premium assets and how expensive they are. We're going to need a couple of budget enablers in there, and Broja is perfect. You can play him, he doesn't need to be benched, and in fact you'd want to play him. So yeah, don't overthink the forward position. Get your differentials in the defense and in midfield, and go with those three up top.
Okay, so that concludes our look through the best players if you are free hitting this week. And Sam, it seems the takeaway is there are four real teams here we should be targeting, not just on a free hit but in general this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously leave Burnley aside for a minute because you're going to target them as they're doubling. But the two Manchester clubs, Spurs and Southampton, they have the best fixtures this week. They also have quite nice fixtures going forward. So if you're not free hitting, they're perfect to target as well. But if you are free hitting, fill your team with those four teams plus three Burnleys and you should have a successful free hit.
Should have. There you go, Ian. Don't worry. It's all going to be absolutely fine. And we did actually ask on Twitter at @officialFPL if managers are planning on free hitting this week, and it was actually quite interesting because nearly 50% of managers said yes or probably, and just over 50% said no. So there's still a lot of people in the same boat as Ian, still making up their mind. We're looking forward to seeing how your final teams look, guys, and particularly if Ian does activate that free hit chip. Let's now move on to discuss some of the Game Week 27 fixtures. This is warning number two. Your deadline this week is Friday the 25th of February at 6:30pm UK time, 90 minutes ahead of Southampton hosting Norwich. Spurs then travel to Leeds. Leeds did actually win this fixture 3-1 last year. Then there are four 3pm Saturday games, including Brentford hosting Newcastle, Brighton welcoming Aston Villa, Crystal Palace then take on Burnley. And of course, that's the first of the Claret's two double game week fixtures, and Manchester United welcome Watford. That's a fixture United fans may not remember too fondly. The Hornets won 4-1 in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's final game in charge. The late game is Everton versus City. And then on Sunday, just the one game due to the EFL Cup final, it's West Ham versus Wolves. The final game of the game week is on Tuesday and it's Burnley's second. It's the Clarets welcoming Leicester, who are without a win in five. As always in this section, we go in chronological fixture order. So we're going to start with Saturday's early game. So come on then, Sam, tell us why that game is going to kick off our game week with plenty of points.
Oh, well, let's hope it's going to from a Spurs perspective, because I've just told you that you should be investing in Spurs if you're free hitting. I think for me, The Manchester City game was the first time this season that we've seen both Son and Kane return double-digit hauls in the same match. And now they are level with Drogba and Lampard as the most prolific partnership in the Premier League. I was expecting them to build on that against Burnley on Wednesday evening. Of course, they didn't. So that means it's up to the trip to Elland Road for them to do that. Son has 22 points in three matches against Leeds in the Premier League, which is a decent return. And when you look at Leeds and what they've been doing defensively, they've conceded 34 goals against the Big Six so far this season. And that's in, what, eight games against those six teams. So it's not even like they've played them all twice yet. And 34 goals is a phenomenal amount to have shipped to those clubs. They've also conceded 20 goals in the last six matches. They have scored 11 goals in that period as well. So it's not like they've been completely blank in terms of their going forward threat. And only four more teams have returned more goals than they have. So I do think this one's got goals in it. Leeds don't defend well. Spurs also don't always defend that well. So we could see goals from both sides. So for me, owning Son, owning Kane looks a nice option. But actually, if you've got Rafinha and you're not free hitting this week, I wouldn't put it past him to get something in this game as well. And when you have a look at Son in a little bit more detail, I went in and had a look, where is it exactly that Leeds are conceding their chances from? They've conceded 41 chances down their right-hand flank in the last 6 weeks. That's more than any other club in the Premier League. And who will you find on Spurs' left? Well, of course, you'll find Sonny there. So I think he will be a really nice option this time around.
A lot of people will be looking at Spurs this week, Sam, for all of the reasons you've just said. Is Son the better option over Kane at the moment? Because I feel like had we been talking straight after that Manchester City game at the weekend, we would have been saying 100% Kane.
Yeah, I mean, Kane had his best performance by a long way against Manchester City on Saturday evening. But I do think that Son has been the more consistent over the course of the season so far. He's also significantly cheaper than Kane. So when you're trying to budget into your FPL teams, particularly if you're not free hitting and you've therefore still got to budget for the likes of Trent and for Salah, then you're probably going to need that little bit of saving that you get from having Son over Kane. You also, you know, need to think about how your positioning works on the pitch, of course, because a lot of midfielders are really popular options right now and they offer good value for money. So maybe putting Kane in that forward spot is easier in terms of the players that you're willing to sacrifice, because there's a lot of forwards out there who just haven't been returning. So I think for me, I would still pick Son over Kane, but it is a tighter decision because I do think that Kane, we saw him, he is starting to find his rhythm again for Spurs. Now, let's see what happens on the back of Burnley, but Spurs know they're going to have to go to Leeds and get something from this game on Saturday lunchtime. And Kane is the sort of player that I would expect to go and get some goals there.
Okay, well, another team who we expect to provide plenty of points this weekend are Manchester City. They're at Everton, Duncan.
Yeah, and it should be an easy game for City. They've only lost one of their last 17 against Everton. But there was a really odd game in the Premier League in 2017 when Everton beat City under Pep 4-0. We saw Palace score four goals. Sorry about this, Kelly. We saw Palace score four goals from a 0.7 XG in midweek.
I saw it live. You don't need to apologise.
Yeah, well. But in this game, this 4-0 Everton win, they scored four goals from 0.38 XG, which is the lowest goals to XG kind of ratio in recorded Premier League history. So, you know, a great win for Everton, but completely unlikely. And, you know, if they're going to do it this weekend, it's probably going to have to be something pretty similar. Obviously, Everton's form isn't good. They're on the periphery of the relegation battle now. Calvert-Lewin, you know, formerly a good option in an FPL, hasn't scored in five games since returning. If you're looking at Everton players who've done okay since Lampard took over, Anthony Gordon has had the most shots and joint most chances created. But obviously, as we've discussed earlier, I think City players are, you know, you need to fill up your team with City players, really. And I think Everton are pressing a lot more under Lampard, which, you know, might help, but it does make them, you know, more susceptible to counterattacks, particularly late on in the game as they tire. So, you know, you look at that City team and again, you think Sterling, you think Mahrez would be good, Foden on the break. So, yeah, I mean, as we talked about earlier, I think any of those will do good. But I probably would back Sterling, I think, as the best option.
Yeah, we've already had that Manchester City midfielder debate, haven't we? But I do wonder if, because of the close nature of this title race now, do you think Pep Roulette, as we like to call it in FPL, might be put on hold a little bit?
Yeah, I think he's going to name a strong team for all the Premier League games going forward, I think, because that's, you know, depending on the draw in the Champions League for the quarterfinals, it's their most kind of susceptible competition as it stands, I guess. As we mentioned earlier, it's actually quite hard to sort of pick the, you know, the out and out first choice Man City team. It does vary during the season. Players come in and out of kind of, you know, super favouritism. So as it stands, Sterling does seem to be the main threat, and you know, Guardiola isn't the sort of manager that's gonna not pick him if he thinks he's gonna, you know, cause the most damage. So I think Sterling's a pretty safe choice the next few weeks.
And finally, Ian, let's move on to the final fixture of the weekend, at least not the final fixture of the game week, of course. West Ham taking on Wolves in East London.
Yeah, it's a tale of two teams with sort of contrasting ownership in a sense. West Ham, obviously, Jarrod Bowen, we've spoken about, a very popular option for good reason. Mikel Antonio, still a very popular option, not for good reason. 35.6% owned now. He's blanked four in a row, only two goals and three assists in his last 17 matches. He's still the second most owned forward. Incredible. If you've not got rid of him yet, get rid of him now, I think. I do think there's better options out there. He's never scored against Wolves either. Cue an Antonio goal now. I've said these things, but they're the facts that I'm presenting to you. And I just feel like Wolves are sort of criminally under-owned, to be honest. Mm. And I think that that will go up over the next few weeks. They've got a great double coming up in 28 with Palace and Watford at home. And over the course of the next few game weeks up to game week 32, no match is higher than three on the FDR ranking. Their defence is great. And who do you think's the most owned Wolves asset? Anyone?
Raul Jimenez, surely.
I think it's Connor Cody, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not Jimenez, it's Cody. Yeah, 13.1% owned. They've actually only got four players who are over 3% ownership. So if you're looking to make gains over the next few weeks, I think Wolves are definitely a team to target because they're just so low owned. So any of the returns that you get from these players should see you to jump up the ranks. In terms of this actual match, Wolves beat West Ham earlier on in the season 1-0, and Wolves have beaten West Ham more than any other side in their Premier League history. So the omens look decent for an away win as well.
If you were going to bring in a Wolves player or recommend a Wolves player, Ian, who would it be?
Tricky, you know, in terms of actually who you'd go for. One player I've got my eye on who I wouldn't necessarily recommend to bring in yet is Pedro Neto, who's just returned to fitness. He's owned by, incredibly, 0.0% of the game at the minute. Maybe it's not that incredible considering he's not played for 10 months, but he made his return against Leicester. Remember, five goals and assists last season before his campaign was cut short by that injury. And he could be a great option in the final weeks of the season if he can find form now he's found fitness. But just take your pick out of defence, really, to be honest. Like I said, Cody's the most well-owned. Sice is a decent option. He gets forward at corners and looks a threat. Semedo down the right as well. It's maybe a little bit more uncertain on the left-hand side, but take your pick.
Yeah, plenty of nice options against Wolves. A reminder, we are recording this before they have travelled to Arsenal. That's the fixtures for this week covered off then. Now it's time for transfers and captains. Okay, so we've established that Sam and Duncan aren't free hitting. Ian might be. Let's firstly ask Duncan and Sam then what their plans for their teams are. Sam, you're obviously quite happy with having so many active players this week. Are you going to be making any transfers?
Yeah, I think the time has come to part ways with a couple of my forwards, to be honest, although I'll only actually sell one of them this week. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I have been the world's most loyal Dominic Calvert-Lewin owner for weeks and weeks and weeks now, expecting to see some new manager bounce, expecting to see him become the kind of the beacon of hope at Everton. And it just hasn't really happened for him. So I need some Weghorst in my life ahead of this double game week. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin's Weghorst feels like an absolute no-brainer. I've also got a Josh King-shaped problem. I'm not keen to keep hold of him either. I think that the way that Watford are attacking right now doesn't lead me to want to own him. I think Ismaïl Assar and Dennis are both better options at Watford, but he does have a double game week coming up, so it makes him quite a difficult sell at that point. I think given that I have a bench available to me this weekend, selling Dominic Calvert-Lewin for Weghorst is probably the move that I'm going to make, and Josh King will get a stay of execution.
Yeah, he also did get taken off a lot earlier than he has done in recent games under Roy Hodgson against Crystal Palace as well. Something else to think about. Duncan, what about you? What are your transfer plans?
So I'm kind of doing the budget free hit, but with transfers. So Ben White's going to go out, replaced by Ben, always nice to replace someone with the same name. And then Adam Idar out, and row you in, which obviously we talked about earlier is a pretty much a no-brainer. So that's going to cost me 4 points, but I think with the gigantic game week 26 haul, I can afford it.
Okay, then Ian, I'm not saying it's decision time because obviously the deadline isn't until Friday at 6:30, but time is ticking.
I've decided.
After our discussion on the pod, you're doing it?
I've decided I'm going to do it. Yeah, definitely. I'm only waiting until everyone's played, really. That's the only reason it's not gone up yet, just in case Adam Ola-Luckman scores a hat-trick for Leicester in the Conference League and he makes me want to bring him in. I'm just waiting until all the games are done, but I'll do it. Yeah, free hit is activated this week. Confirmed.
We can still bring him in after that hat trick, can't you? Anyway, that's the beauty of the free hit, unlimited transfers.
Actually, Kelly, there's quite a key point there. Don't take out players that you might keep if you've got value in them, because the minute they go, that value's gone. If you transfer out João Cancelo because you're just having a look at how your team looks without him, and then bring you back in, it'll cost you money. So just be careful with that.
Yes, be very careful when activating that free hit. A reminder as well, you can't play free hits in back-to-back game weeks. And once the free hit is activated, it is active. You can't deactivate it. It happens when you confirm your transfer. So also make sure you do activate it rather than taking a minus 32 or something crazy like that. You laugh, but it has been known. Okay, Ian, we don't need to ask you your transfers. What about your captaincy?
As it stands, it's going on the Vegasaurus. Absolutely. I don't think I can have a double game week and not captain a player that's got two games. If I was going for a single game week player, it'd probably be Kane or Son. And the stat that Sam wheeled out about Leeds' weakness down their right hand side makes you think that it would be Son. So I'd say Son or Weghorst, but considering he's got those two games, I don't think I'll be able to resist it. That's why Josh King was my captain a few weeks ago.
Well, how things change in FPL. Captaining a Burnley player. Duncan, you brought him in last week. Is he the standout option and is he getting your armband?
Yeah, the giant of Turf Moor, the Ent of Lancashire, whatever you want to call him. He is the... he's rapidly becoming my favourite ever Premier League player. So I might just captain him permanently forever. So, but yeah, definitely for this game week.
Sam, are we going to complete the hat trick of Weghorst captainers or are you going to keep the faith with Spurs and Son?
I am going to give you a hat trick of Weghorst captainers. I think for me, when you've got a double game week, you have to absolutely go for it and target those because for me personally anyway, I'll regret it more if I don't captain a double game weeker who goes off than I will if I put the armband on a single game weeker. So yeah, Weghorst will be my captain. Vice captain's armband will be sitting nice and safely with Heung-min Son though.
Yeah, it's always the way, isn't it? If you captain a double game weaker, you still have the bit of hope, even if they blank in that first game. You think it's okay, they can rescue this in the second game, unless, of course, you're Emmanuel Dennis and you get sent off in the first game. I'm probably going to be mentioning that on this podcast forever. Well, a big thank you to Duncan, Sam and Ian for all joining me. Ian, you have the pleasure of my company again later for the FPL show. That will be available on fantasy.premierleague.com, of course, as well as plenty of other content that'll also be on the app, so do check both of those out. But for now, all that's left for me to say is to remind you once again of the deadline, which is Friday, 6:30 p.m. UK time. Whether you're free hitting or not, the very best of luck, and we'll see you next week.